Harper Audio presents The Rogue Not Taken, Scandal and Scoundrel, Book 1, by Sarah McLean, performed by Justine Eyre. Scandal and Scoundrel, Volume 1, Issue 1, Sunday, 10 June 1833. Duke at death's door? Word has it that notorious recluse, the Duke of Lynn, is nearing his end. What's more, a confidential source tells Scandal and Scoundrel that his heir, the rapscallion and riveting royal rogue, has been summoned north for a final face-to-face with his frail father. Will Eversley extricate himself from the embrace of his latest lady love to hasten home? Signs suggest so, indicating inheritance trumps inamorata. More to come. Chapter 1. Sophie's Society Splash. London, June 1833. If only the Countess of Liverpool hadn't been such an admirer of aquatic creatures, perhaps things would have turned out differently. Perhaps no one would have witnessed the events of the 13th of June, the final legendary garden party of the 1833 season. Perhaps London would have happily packed itself into myriad coaches that would have spread like beetles across the British countryside into summer idyll. Perhaps. But 1 year earlier, the Countess of Liverpool had received a gift of a half-dozen pretty orange and white fish that were said to be direct descendants of those beloved of the Shogun of Japan. Sophie thought the tale wholly unbelievable, Japan being notoriously insulated from the rest of the world. But Lady Liverpool was exceedingly proud of her pets, caring for the things with near fanatical passion. Six had turned into 24, and the overlarge bowl in which the creatures were delivered had been traded for a container that could only be described as pond-like. The fish had sparked the Countess's imagination, however, and the Liverpool summer soiree was oddly China-themed, despite the Countess of Liverpool knowing even less about China than she did of Japan. Indeed, when Lady Liverpool had greeted them in an elaborate white and orange diaphanous silk, clearly intended to evoke her prized fish, she'd explained the disconnect. "No one knows a thing about Japan, you see. It's terribly private, which makes for no fun when it comes to a theme. And China is so very close. It's practically the same." When Sophia told the Countess that it was, in fact, not the same at all, the Countess had tittered with laughter and waved one arm replete with silk fins. "Don't fret, Lady Sophie. China has fish as well, I'm sure." Sophie had cut her mother a look at the ignorant words, but received no acknowledgement. For weeks she'd insisted that China and Japan were not one in the same, but no one had been inclined to listen. Her mother far too grateful for the invitation to such an elaborate affair. The Talbot sisters, after all, were exceptional at being elaborate. They, along with the rest of the aristocracy, had turned out in an array of reds and golds, brocades each more intricate than the last, and topped with outrageous hats that had no doubt kept the milliners of London working night and day since the invitations had arrived. Sophie, however, had resisted her mother's insistence that she participate in the farce, and, to her family's dismay, arrived in ordinary pale yellow. And so it was that on that lovely day in the middle of June, Lady Liverpool took pity on poor, uninteresting Sophie. The Talbot daughter, who was neither the prettiest, nor the most diverting, nor the one who played the best pianoforte, and suggested that the young fish out of water might like to visit with fish in their proper environment. Sophie happily accepted the offer, grateful to exit the party of tittering aristocrats and their combined gaze, one that carefully avoided her and her family. There was, after all, never a stare so blatant as the one that carefully evaded its object. This was particularly true when the objects in question were so impossible to ignore. The stares had followed the young ladies Talbot since they'd had their comings out, 5 and 4 years. Each less welcome in society than the last, the invitations growing fewer and fewer as the years progressed. Sophie had always rather wished that her mother would give up on the dream of making her daughters society darlings, but that would never happen. As a consequence, Sophie was here, alternately hiding in the topiary of the Liverpool estate and pretending not to hear the insults so regularly whispered about her sister.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?